Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. But before I read that, I came across a prayer that the church offers for today, and I want to share it with you. O Lord our God, between Easter and Pentecost, you speak to us of the Spirit at work in your church. Between Easter and Pentecost, the time we're in right now, you speak to us of the Spirit at work in your church. Send your renewing fire into the hearts of all your people during this holy season. Prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're not celebrating a past event. We're celebrating a present reality. The Holy Spirit, who longs to live in the hearts of men and women. So send your renewing fire into the hearts of all your people during this holy season, that we may live with enthusiasm the life of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may live with enthusiasm the life of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. How attractive does the Christian life look? If you were non-Christian and you looked at us in our homes, you looked at us on the street, would you be attracted to the gospel? Would you look at someone and say, my, what peace, or what charity, what kindness, what hope that person conveys? If people were to describe you, what would they say? You want the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your heart, so you become what you pray. These are not empty prayers that just go out into the stratosphere. They go into the very heart of God. Are you willing to give your life? Are you willing to put it out there for the Lord? To offer it to the Lord? To call on all of us, married, single, celibate, whatever. The call is on all of us, according to our states in life, yes. But the call is on every one of us to become holy as our Father is holy, and only the Holy Spirit can enable that to happen in us. First, again, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. The community of believers was of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They had everything in common. If people came into your parish, would they say this is a community of believers of one heart and one mind? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. How active is the Holy Spirit in your life, in your parish? How active? Start with yourself. With great power, the apostles bore witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great favor was accorded them all. There was no needy person among them. For those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sale, and put them at the feet of the apostles, and they were distributed to each according to need. Thus Joseph, also named by the apostles Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, a Cypriot by birth, sold a piece of property that he owned, and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. There's something, brothers and sisters, that when your faith is strong, when you really are seeking to serve the Lord, you become very generous because you realize, yes, I may have worked hard for this, but it isn't just for me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. It's not for me. It's for him and for his people. Barnabas knew that. Barnabas made that gift, and it was so important that it became part of the scripture. It's so important to see that if we are a community in our parish, we're really there to help one another get to heaven. That's why you're there. Are you helping others get to heaven? Are you receiving help from others? Is anybody alert? Is anybody awake? Does anybody have that goal when you go to Mass on Sunday or any other parish activity? Do you understand that you are a part of the body of Christ? You are to contribute, but you are also be open to receive all that God has for you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to bind us together. Psalm 93, the Lord is King, in splendor robed. Robed is the Lord and girt about with strength. Your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, for length of days. Holiness befits your house. Are we becoming more holy? Am I? Is my family? Is my workplace? Where am I? We really need to answer these questions, to put them before ourselves. Don't point at anybody else. Point it at yourself right now. Answer the questions and then ask God what you can do to change where you really are not a disciple, where it's not evident. Ask God what you need to do. He will not be silent toward you when you seek him with all your heart. Not just throw up a quick, oh God, by the way. But when we come before him in worship, when we come before him in repentance, ask him, what more, Lord, can I give you? What more can I do to serve your kingdom? Psalm 93, your decrees are worthy of trust indeed. Holiness befits your house for length of days. Does holiness mark our house? Does holiness mark our parish? The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. Let me add one comment. If your answer is no, my house isn't holy, and I'm not sure how to judge my parish, but I don't see the fruits of holiness, then start praying. That's how you start. Start praying, Lord, do this in me, work in me, that I might reflect your holiness. Work in me, that I might serve others as sons and daughters who belong to you. Work in me first. That's how you pray. And pray it every day. Pray the rosary. Pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Pray one of the many novenas, but pray it for yourself and pray it for your parish, pray it for your family. God will answer. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 7 to 15. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can this happen? And Jesus answered and said to him, you are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. I remember many years ago, speaking at a conference. And before I went to the conference, I felt like the Lord in a certain way. There's no audible voice, but just a thought goes through your head. Raise high the cross of Christ. And I thought, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want what I convey to proclaim the power of the cross of Christ. Yes, Lord, that's what I want to do. But it kept being insistent. It would come back to me at the oddest times, wherever I was, whatever I was doing, it would come back to me, raise high the cross of Christ. So after some days of maneuvering in my own mind, what did this mean? I looked at the crucifix in my room and I said, do you mean this literally? Do you want me to lift the cross? Yes. And so for a number of conferences after that, where I felt called to, it wasn't everyone every time, but where I felt called to, I was now open to the possibility to raise high the cross of Christ. I'm reminded of something I've told you before on the radio about the young woman in the drugstore who saw my crucifix as I was paying for the goods that I had purchased. And she said, "Who is that guy on that bar? Who is that guy on that bar?" Raise high the cross of Christ, brothers and sisters. We have a whole generation, at least one, and maybe more, who are ignorant, who do not even have an inkling of what the cross means. To us, it's clear. To us as Christians, it's clear. But you go beyond that circle, and I'm sure you'll find people who do, but I'm not so sure they would lift high the cross of Christ. We do it in our thoughts. We do it in our words. Sometimes we're actually called to do it in our actions, to lift high the cross of Christ. So again, brothers and sisters, it comes back to a question of faith that I spoke about a number of times recently. How deep is your faith? How real? Does the river run deep in you, the river of faith, the confidence in God, the hope in God, the love for God? Does it run deep in your heart? Does it overflow its banks as you reach out to other people? Or do you find yourself more sterile, empty? Ask the Holy Spirit. That's His work. In these days between Easter and Pentecost, ask the Holy Spirit, "Come and reform me. Please, I offer you my life. Reform me that I may raise the cross of Christ in my thoughts and my words and sometimes by my actions. May I raise high the cross of Jesus Christ." That's what God wants. How willing, you know, to use the old phrase, are you willing to stand up and be counted? Are you a disciple? Would you be found guilty if you were brought into a courtroom of being a disciple of Christ? You should. They should see it. They should know it. Are you? Brothers and sisters, please, please, don't take lightly this season of our lives. We really do have time now to redirect our lives, to redirect our thoughts, our words, our actions, to make new goals and new priorities. Look at everything in your life in light of the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of the Father, gave His life that you might live. Someone died for you that you might live and live for all eternity. If we in turn are grateful for the gift, and then open our hearts to receive ever deepening faith that many, many may not be lost. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. "The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings." God bless you.